Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands. Because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa. Hunger in the United States. And not having spare hands.
I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. But she was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if a favorite toys just happen to be half-naked muscular men? Welcome back to episode 76 of the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast. I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti, and with me today are my two co-hosts, the two best co-hosts a host can have. So getting right on to this show, because we got a lot to talk about. I'd like to introduce Travis Bowles. How you doing, Trav?
Awesome.
And next to him and across from me, we have Pete McCarthy. How's it going, Pete?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Awesome. Now, biggest news. We got big news. And I want to talk about the number one thing on everybody's mind, my birthday. Today is my birthday.
How old are you, Steven?
39.
39. You are a young pup. Guess what? I got you a present.
Ooh, Travis is handing me a present.
I didn't punch you in the face for being late and delaying our start this morning, so happy birthday.
Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome.
What he just handed me is a Victoria's Secret bag. Pink, beautiful. Complete with some Victoria's Secret little packing in it. And
what is it?
Woo! Travis has given me a hot little number. It is Black Panther from Walmart, the Walmart exclusive. Awesome.
Very cool.
You didn't have that yet, right?
No, I don't have that.
And I know you are considering getting out of the Legends game, but it's so sweet, I thought you'd like it.
I'm not going to get rid of all my Legends regardless.
Mm-hmm. You guys are so wishy-washy, non-committal anyways. I don't believe any of you, ever.
So. I can understand why you would say that.
So, thank you, Travis.
You're welcome.
On to the real show. We're going to broom our normal format today in lieu of a San Diego Comic-Con format. We're going to talk about all things San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to miss some stuff. We're not going to get it all. We're going to talk about the stuff that is important to us because it's our show. So that is the
plan. And if you don't like it, start your own show.
That's right. It's what we did.
And we won't listen, but we'll believe that it'll be good.
Pete won't, unless he's on it. Just invite him on it, then he'll listen.
Even that's a stretch anymore.
So we're going to jump right into stuff. Do you want to go movies or do you want to go toys first?
Let's do toys.
We're going to do toys first. There probably won't be even a UPS guy. I don't know if we've ever had a numerically numbered episode, like we're calling this episode 76, without a thanks UPS guy. But if we haven't, this is a first. That sentence meant nothing. All right, so we should go right off the bat. I think since it's first on my list, we'll talk about the Mythic Legions reveals, what they're doing, what they've shown us. And I got to tell you, those guys can do no wrong. They will be zillionaires someday. I don't think they are now.
Someday, though.
But they're going to be. The Four Horsemen I'm talking about. They just keep knocking it out of the park. They've been giving us these figure. One hole we still have.
have. So what is that?
Pete's getting an update on it. When you're important, man, they contact you when they need to. It's right. Just the way it works.
Right.
Yeah, no, that was me looking at the last episode I listened to being like episode 30, and I inadvertently played one of the episodes. That was Mark Hodges from Grand Rapids Comic Con talking.
Wow.
So
that was a while ago.
They've been giving us updates, especially if you've been a previous Kickstarter backer, on all the new figures that have been coming out as far as the regular size figures. I think we had all them revealed before San Diego Comic-Con, did we not?
Yes.
We talked about them on this show. But what they didn't reveal was the, what are the ogres? What we call
Ogre
those?
And Barbarian Giant, I think is what it's really called.
Yeah, so these are two figures that are in a different scale than they've ever done before, somewhere between a regular figure and the trolls. They are so freaking cool. There's a green ogre or orc type giant, and then there's a more heroic barbarian type. And if you got to check these out, you got to look these up. If you're not into these, they're just cool. They're just so cool.
And I'm very judging excited. On the pictures, they look like they're probably about 8-9 inches, probably.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. They just look huge and obviously beautifully sculpted. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know that we love Mythic Legions, and these are just a very welcome addition to the lineup.
I've said this before, especially to my friends, I love scale changes within a line. I love the fact that we're going to have those little goblins. And, you know, right up to if you've got the Timekeepers, which they're not technically Mythic Legions, but they fit. Even I'll say those fit. And then we got our the little guys, dwarfs, and then the regular size. And now we're going to have these giants, and then we're going to go all the way up to the trolls. And I just loved having all that variation in there. It's going to really make for an awesome display. What kind of price point are you expecting, Trav?
I'm thinking probably around $80. $20 cheaper than the trolls, you know. The deluxe sets were, I think they were 55, weren't they?
I
think
50,
so.
50, 55.
So I gotta see them being in the $75 range. We'll see. I don't care. I'll pay it.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm done. It sucks, but but it's so great too.
Are you impressed by the wisdom that 39 has already brought, Steven? He's like, oh yeah, scale changes within, like, change the scale, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know it's not really Mythic Legions, but it goes great in there. You can mix those toy lines.
I'll accept it.
He's just a wiser person.
He is much wiser. Yeah. One day, man.
That's awesome.
Took.
Yep.
Welcome, Steven. It's good to have you.
Welcome to the new me.
Not only that, you know what it probably was too? I spent the night with the in-laws. And if I remember right, he's going to be spending the week with his in-laws.
All week you're going to be out there?
No. Nice. I have to work. Oh. So I'll go home, but
doesn't your wife have to work too?
She took Monday and Tuesday off.
Oh, okay,
yeah, you know, she doesn't get much time off.
Right. So today's your birthday.
Yeah,
and we often talk about this as men. What awesome stuff do you got planned for your birthday today?
I don't have any. I don't care. Whatever we do, I'm probably going to go back out. In-laws, you know, I don't live in Whitehall. I live 15 miles south of Whitehall, maybe 10 miles. I don't know. I don't live in Whitehall, but my in-laws always rent a cottage in the town, the like sister town of Whitehall, Montague, which is on Lake Michigan, which is in a beautiful spot. This week, my birthday week, is when they usually rent that. So
Montague's kind of like our skanky sister.
Is it?
Like the one that we don't invite everywhere. The one that lives in a trailer park, you know?
Yeah. One you got to take for a ride every now and then, but you're ashamed of it.
I don't know why we just crossed that line. That was weird. So it's okay if I take your sister for a ride, but it's not okay if you take your sister for a ride.
Well, so. In Steven's world, remember, it is kind of okay if he takes his sister for a ride.
Yeah. No.
Deeply submersed in the world of George Lucas.
So, yeah, so they're out there, but I got to work. So it's within driving distance, so I'll be out there some evenings and whatnot, but I won't not be out there all week.
Do you notice, though, you don't actually, on our birthdays, we don't actually really get to do what we want to do?
Not usually. And yeah. End up, the women have a birthday month.
Oh, on birthday month. And on our birthdays, it's, hey, we're getting together with the in-laws for your birthday party. You're like, that sounds fucking awesome.
Wait, isn't it my birthday?
Yeah. Because I got news for you. On my birthday, I don't want to spend it with your fucking parents. Right. You know what else I don't want to do? I don't want to sit around and have cake. I want to go to the strip club. Okay? That's what I want to do.
You know what? I guess I won't go as far as to say I don't want to have cake. I'd bring my cake to the strip club. So. But, you know, and it's funny, too, because so much of in the holidays in general, so much of it's not about us anymore. You know, it's, we always get together and have, you know, and do the birthday celebration with my side of the family, my or your side of the family. I didn't want to do either of those things. So and don't get me wrong, I love my family, but I, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, hand me my PlayStation controller and get the fuck out of my way. So.
Well, I kept forgetting that my birthday is coming. People keep reminding me, oh, your birthday is a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that's the other side. As men, we don't really, for the most part.
I am 75% of the time, Travis doesn't know how old he is. And that's the straight up truth. Like, how old are you, Travis? And he does that. 37 maybe? Heidi, how old am I? 38. I'm 38.
I got to admit, I do that same thing, though. Yeah. I have ever since probably the early 30s, I started getting kind of, you know, not so zoomed in on.
Well, we're dumb. I mean, that's another big part of it.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Happy birthday, Stephen.
And me.
Yes. Hope you enjoy it, man. Thanks, tell your mother-in-law I said hey.
I will.
So moving on from Mythic Legions, which we are excited about, Steve and I will be all in on those. Pete will want them so bad, but will miss the date to order them. Moving on to Legends.
It doesn't matter what the date is, because there's not extra money coming in before this day or this day.
Especially
or whatever,
that kind
know.
Of money, right?
I mean.
It's not a $20 figure you go pick up at Walmart.
And realistically, I think it's a great figure, but the Cyclops doesn't do much for me. I'm anxious to see what it looks like in person, but at face value, I'm kind of like, meh. Like, comparatively to the ones that they showed us on some of the packaging art, the Cyclops would have been my least desired because there was like the Abominable Snowman one. Yeah.
I'm excited about him, but the Cyclops was on the packaging art.
Yeah.
Right. And they said, I remember when we talked about that.
But I was the same way. I was like, eh.
Right. The Cyclops was for me the.
Now I like it.
I think they could realistically put out any troll and I'd be on.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're so cool. They're fun. But
moving on.
Okay.
Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
There's a big chunk of them. I don't think we need to talk about every single one that they're doing. I am right now on thefwoosh.com, which is where we get a lot of our toy information and where we just got our toys from. We picked up our articulated icons this week. We did a Facebook Live video where we reviewed them, where Steve made fun of... he didn't make fun of anything. That's right. P made fun of Steve. Yeah, that was pretty much how that went down.
I don't have a ton to contribute, so...
Well,
when it comes to stuff with figures, and
tell you what, check out the video. You'll enjoy it. We will talk about articulated icons. My guess will be next week.
Yeah, we'll probably. You know, we I don't know.
Give us more time to play with them.
Yeah.
Yep. Right now, the Foosh has quite a bit of pictures up. Reference the Marvel Legends, and right off the top, they have the Defenders 4-pack set. Which is the comic version of the Defenders, which is going to be Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Daredevil. I can tell you right now, I am very excited about this 4-pack. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know.
You think it's
going to
be an exclusive?
Part of me says yes. I think it's going to be like an Amazon exclusive. And they probably, you know, I did not get a chance to watch a press conference. They might have said what it was going to be. But I can tell you right now, Daredevil is a $45 figure. Luke Cage came out once in a San Diego Comic-Con Thunderbolt set. I'm going to guess he's a $80 to $100 figure.
Which Luke Cage? The classic yellow
shirt, right?
It's a yellow shirt, but it is not. It's
not the funny 70s headband thing.
It is a nice. Now, there is a Marvel Legends of that version, the 70s one. But a more modern looking Luke.
Did they in the 375? They did that awesome, like black wife beater stocking cap chain.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that in a 6-inch.
And I think we will.
You know,
we'll
I
see.
Just think that figure is rad.
They also announced they are going to do 6-inch Marvel Vintage. So very similar to the Black Series where they did the 40th anniversary. They are putting these figures on these carded. Things that were like, I mean, I want to say they came out in the 80s to 90s. Probably 80s.
Please tell me they're going to finally give us a good Spider-Man. I need a Spider-Man, a Cap, and an Iron Man. I need these figures, guys.
I'll tell you what.
Them.
You're going to get your wish because guess what? They're giving you pizza-eating Spider-Man.
Again.
Again. Which, again.
There's people that need them.
$45 figure.
Yeah.
You know, people absolutely love that Spider-Man. Did you see who else is in this pack?
Not exact. No.
Wolverine. Brown and tan.
Oh, that Wolverine.
Brown and tan Wolverine with a unmasked head.
All right. So if you've got the original, sell it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality of it. Unless you want to open her, I would tell you, open the original. And let this one, because the card art, it's just like the Star Wars Black stuff, the 40th anniversary, it's going to look really cool open and put on a shelf.
It does. I probably won't get these.
Display room,
and, you know, I've got the Star Wars ones that I love, and I don't have a place to put them on my wall.
Yeah.
So I probably won't bite, but I really think it's cool.
You know, I think it's a great, for one, they're putting out figures they already put out once.
Yep.
And then it's also that they're gonna be capturing the nostalgia aspect of it. You know, which is pretty darn cool. So far they've announced a Black Widow, and it's a different Black Widow, so that's kind of cool. Wolverine, Punisher, Cap, Spider-Man. Those are the five I've seen.
This is more of a comic inspired Black Widow? Because I've only got a Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
inspired.
You know what? She is definitely a comic book inspired Black Widow. I would say that's definitely how I would describe her. Showing you a picture real quick, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's awesome looking.
Oh, that's one I might get.
Yep. It's Black Widow. She's beautiful.
Good. I don't have it.
They followed up with another Fantastic Four figure that I imagine will be a Walgreens exclusive. And that was Reed Richards with his bendy arms. Stretch arms. I love the Fantastic Four, so I'm excited about it.
Yep, sounds real cool.
Yeah,
those movies have been great.
X-23. Figure looks beautiful. She's in her X-Force costume, which is the one I love. I would love to have an X-Force team, black and gray. A Mysterio, which... I think Mysterio is going to be, they're going to make Mysterio a character in one of the new movies, and I think they will make it awesome. If you look at Mysterio, he looks stupid. I mean, he has a fishbowl for a head.
It's dumb.
Yep.
I don't remember. I never thought it looked dumb.
You didn't think it looked dumb ever? No. You know, I'll tell you, it depends on who draws him. Yeah. I've seen some.
What's his backstory? I don't know anything about him.
He's got some kind of gas that makes you see illusions.
Makes you trip out.
Yeah. So
right, but so what's up with the glass head?
I don't actually know why they ever did that. I mean, it conceals his identity.
Does he ever take it off, or does he, sleep with it on?
I think he takes it off, but I don't really know enough about Mysterio to comment on it. Now, I can tell you, they did a Mysterio in the Ultimate Universe that did not look like that, but was the same kind of premise. He could, make... He was awesome. He was really awesome. So, Apocalypse. Did you see that? Pictures of that, Steven?
I did not.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that looks cool. Build-A-Figure?
I don't know if he's a Build-A-Figure or not. And once again, I probably should have listened to the press conference. That would have made a lot.
Chunky, broad-shouldered, just pretty cool.
Sculpted face looks awesome. I'm pretty excited about that. We got a Black Bolt, which I'm just hoping they're not using the old, because he looks, something about him, I don't like how he looks. Great looking lizard. It looks like he's got a T-Rex head. Deathlock. I'm not really. That's not a big thing. Big deal for me. Namor. The classic looking Namor and his Speedo. A Hydra. Hail Hydra 2-pack. And I will be honest, I'm pretty excited about that.
That looks like the same figure we got a while ago with a pack in with a different one.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We got one of the first Cap waves we had.
Yep. And I'm an army builder, so I really like to do those kind of things. I like to have about four Hydra guys, and then I just pack them all up and put them away. A Layfield looking Cable, who looks pretty cool. A Domino,
who a totally nude Namor.
Yeah.
Totally new
literally
Namor.
Dick swinging Namor.
A couple new Spider-Man. Big surprise.
Yeah.
I really like the punk rocker Spider-Man.
What is that from?
So there was this comic where they Spider-Verse, and there was like all these different Spider-Mans from all these other alternate universes, and one of them was I don't even know if he had powers. I think he might have just been he was the lead singer in a punk rock band.
And he dressed up like Spider-Man?
Dressed up like Spider-Man.
Oh.
You know, so I think it'll be kind of cool, though. He'll probably come with a guitar.
He does in this picture. Did you see the picture of him?
I see one, and I can't tell if it's... Oh, yeah. See, I think that looks awesome. I think that looks fun.
He's got the classic devil horns. you know, the hand, the punk rock hand. I will say, what's Tinkerbell from Kiss, Gene Simmons?
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting to try to trademark that hand sign.
What?
And I'm like, how stupid are you?
Oh, God.
So...
Songbird, which she's a Thunderbolts character. I really like the figure. Looks amazing.
Figure looks absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
Steve, did you see it?
No.
I'm trying to show it to you.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if she's ever been a... That's so good. I think she's won a couple fan polls that people voted that they wanted her made, and so they are finally making her. Ghost Rider on his bike, and Ghost Rider another 40-plus. You know what they're doing? They're giving a bunch of people these figures that they wanted and that are pretty expensive in value. So I think that's pretty awesome. There's a new Deadpool coming out. He looks more classic, comic bookish. I'm trying to think if we missed anything. I think
the Gwenpool.
Gwenpool. You know, which I don't know anything about the character, but that figure, Steve, what do you think about this?
That's Gwenpool.
Yeah.
Pretty highly accessorized.
Okay.
It looks like a cool action figure.
It looks fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, it's got her tongue out. You know, and she just looks. It just looks fun to me. So Marvel really and Hasbro, I think they really nailed it with these figures that they're showing us. Who knows how long it'll take to get them all out on the shelves? The way they've been doing things, I would expect to see them all next month. And good luck trying to afford them
all at the same time.
Yes, all at the same time. Just here you go. Yep.
Unless you're a diamond, it'll be January.
Yep. And
of 19.
And that's not even including the couple box sets that are there that we're going to be trying to get on Hasbro Toy Store the day they go up. And that includes the Thor set, which I want really bad.
That's the Hulk bath, right?
Well, there's that, which those are not San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. There actually is this big Thor set that folds up into this big
it's a five-piece.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It's got that Ulick in it.
Yes,
and yeah,
yes, yep. Now, I also do
that
think...
That Hela looks awesome.
I do think, like the Raft, we're going to see... We'll see these figures some point down the line.
Right.
But if you like how those boxes look and display and you're a San Diego Comic-Con collector, I think you kind of got to get them. Steven, you all set with all them?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Peter, anything you want to add on the Legends?
No.
Steve, how much have you saw of the Star Wars stuff?
I've seen some of it. I don't know if I've seen all of it.
Okay.
But well, I'm familiar with, there's a few things I'm excited about.
Well, what are those?
Well, this is really stupid. I don't know why I'm excited about this, but I think it's so cool. The opening shot of A New Hope, Vader's coming through the door of the Tantive IV, and there's an old guy, he's one of the soldiers on there, he's an old guy, he's got bushy old gray eyebrows, he's got his gun up, and he kind of gives a look of like, holy shit, or I don't know what his look is, but anyways, it's a shot I've seen a zillion times. Yeah, I don't think the guy has any lines or anything else, but they made a character. They made a figure of that guy, and I love it. I want that. I want that in my collection very, very bad.
And I think he'll either probably come with an alternate head with maybe with those helmets.
Maybe you can army build him or something.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll probably do. So I agree with you. I think that's totally awesome.
So, yeah, real excited about that. I saw that they did Princess Leia, an old Princess Leia.
General Leia.
She doesn't look very good from in my opinion. Her face, anyways.
No.
It's kind of, I don't know, it might not look like that true production, but yeah. Now, another character I'm really excited to get my hands on is Captain Rex from the Clone Wars. He's just badass, and I've been waiting for him to come along. I like Captain Rex, and the figure's cool. Even if you didn't know that that was Captain Rex, the figure's still freaking cool. So, pumped about that one.
How about so you're getting a Lando and a Maz Kanata, too?
Maz Kanata,
yep.
Awesome. Lando, is there another Lando?
No, they had him in the display.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Maz Kanata, she looks pretty cool. I haven't seen real close-up pictures of her, but...
That one don't do anything for me.
It's just cool to have.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you want all the characters. So she's a character now, and...
You know what I'm most excited about?
Which one?
The Dewback.
The Dewback. I like it. I don't know where the hell I'm going to put it.
Mythic Legion shelf.
God. No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Tell me he is not a perfect mount for an orc. Steven, come on.
It looks like a Dewback. It's a Dewback.
Yeah, it's a big giant lizard.
You look at it, you're like, okay, Dewback, that's Star Wars. Why is Star Wars Mythic Legion? They're the
same
universe.
I look at it and go, big giant lizard.
Unless Star Wars makes Mythic Legions canon.
I'm not...
it doesn't work for me.
I'm not getting in between your guys' lovers' quarrels. Who's this guy? Is this the guy from Clone Wars you're talking about? With the cool helmet?
Yes. Yep, that's Captain Rex.
This one, Captain Rex? That one?
Yeah.
All
right. Yep. I don't think there was a ton of other real reveals, though, from them at this. As far as I could see, you know, looking at pictures. I mean, obviously, everybody that's listening, we're not there. Okay, we got friends that are there. Lucky bastards. But,
not good enough friends to invite us, yeah, but they're there.
But we are not there. But there's some cool-looking stuff. I also saw there's the, what's the little guy that's, he's Lando's buddy, rides shotgun with him in the Millennium
Falcon. Nine-num.
Nine-num. Yeah, he looks pretty sweet, too. Pretty excited about that. All right, so is there any Masters news?
Yeah, I was just trying to scramble some of that together just so I could remember everything I seen because whatnot. But we were going to, let's see. Yes, there is some good Masters stuff. First, I want to talk about the vintage remakes. They're not really remakes. They're vintage add-ons to the, I guess you'd call them the 5.5-inch figures. And I'm kind of excited about these. They went back, and I hope they do a lot more of these. And the story is they've got actually their Super 7 has their hands on molds of figures that had never been released that were from the 80s. There's a sculptor or something that had this stuff and... that now they've got actual unproduced figures. Of course, they're not giving us those right now. But those are supposed to come down the line. But what they are giving us is they gave us a He-Man that is done in the original vintage way, but looks like it would have been the Filmation look of
He-Man. Oh, are you talking about these little...
The original ones.
Oh, God, they're hideous.
They're friggin' cool. I love them. I'm all in. Gotta have them. And then we got a Skeletor. His face is a little bit more geared towards it, looking like the cartoon. It's a Skeletor when I was a kid. I was like, why is my Skeletor? I want my Skeletor to look like that. Even though I like the Skeletor I had too.
Right, right.
It's just something I always wanted. We actually got a She-Ra that actually fits in the He-Man line instead of being more of a doll like they tried to market towards girl. Now she's built like Evil-Lyn or like Teela was or the Sorceress. She's built like that, and I think that's amazing. I can't wait to get a She-Ra that I can set on that shelf with my Master stuff and it actually fits. And then we got a Hordak that actually has a cannon arm on him. I mean, always did that in the cartoon, but you didn't come with any of that stuff. You know, the Hordak that you got as a figure didn't seem like the same Hordak that you got that you watched on the cartoon. So they gave us basically the four heads. You got He-Man, Skeletor, you got She-Ra and Hordak.
Yep.
And then there's the promise or the view of that in the future we're going to get our Hero, our Eldor, and all of them done like we saw that they were coming, but we never got them in the I think it was a Sears catalog or a JCPenney catalog, I'm not sure. But somewhere they were photographed, but we never got the figures. And then more to come of other figures out there that were sculpted and they were kind of going to come but never did. And I'm pumped about that. I can't wait to just set them right alongside my vintage figures and have fun.
Yeah.
Sit in the middle of my living room.
See, and they're making those for you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really are, which is cool. It'll be interesting to see the price point, but...
So. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering about that myself, but, you know, We'll see. Also, and I'm afraid I'm going to miss a character here, but they showed us some of the Filmation line that they're doing, and pretty pumped. They gave us a sorceress. A lot of people, like Travis, is like, oh, the sorceress is the only good one. Now, I think the sorceress is good, too, and I'm excited to get it, but the sorceress they gave us, other than the way that they did the wings, which was weird because you got those big drums sticking on her back, she was really good, too.
Right.
So it's like, I know this is more of a Filmation-looking sorceress. The colors are right. But I think it's pretty cool because, for me, I'm not as excited about the sorceress because I already got a great sorceress.
Totally get it.
But a lot of people don't have that sorceress. So this is their chance to get one.
What's she run now, do you know? Roughly?
I have not looked recently.
She's got to be a $100 figure,
oh,
though.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Yep.
So for me, that's why this is exciting. I'll actually get one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that I'm excited about that. Another one I'm pretty excited about, which is Travis hates and doesn't understand, is Dial-A-Mug. Dial-A-Mug appeared in one episode, I believe. I think only one of the She-Ra episode. He's this big mechanical-looking thing. It kind of reminds me of, is a Marvel character. MODOK, a little bit. Reminds me of that. A lot of fans have been wanting that character for a long time. I want that character. I'm excited about it. Travis thinks it's dumb. Where are you going?
I got someplace I gotta be.
Well, you got just 1 second because you're not leaving the show until you got it. All right. What was that?
That's our prize. Our prize indicator, right?
That's going to be the prize indicator from now on. Anytime you hear we're doing a giveaway when you hear that.
And our giveaway winner from this last week, it was interesting getting the messages. I never knew so many people were interested in a side of Pete's Salty Balls. But he is a hot commodity, let me tell you.
He is.
Yep. Our winner from last episode is Mitchell McRoy. And I'll tell you what I love about this. Mitchell is a guy that he doesn't comment on our Facebook stuff. It's like you don't even know he's there.
And maybe it was his first episode.
You know what? He has actually been, because you can look and see when they liked My Wife is Gonna Kill Me, the Facebook page.
Okay.
And he has been around for like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm thinking even pre-podcast, this guy was a shopper in the booth, I believe, who came on board. We'll see. Mitchell, we're going to send you a message and get your address, and we will get a prize sent out to you. It's going to be so awesome. I can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be.
It's going to change your life.
It probably will change his life. It probably will.
Well, thanks for listening, Mitchell. And hey, comment on, talk to us, have some fun. Jeez, there's people out there. It's weird. It's like they know me, but I don't know them, and it's kind of creepy.
So speaking of Steven, what is going to be the phrase that wins this week?
I got it. Steve's thick hair makes me wet. That's the phrase that pays. That's it. Steve's thick hair makes me wet.
I am so excited for the fact that no one probably is going to message us. They're going to be like, you know what? I'm just not saying it.
If they'll take a side of Pete's Salty Balls, they'll...
No, I think people are interested in those, all three of them. You know, I don't know. It's going to be fun, though. We'll see what happens.
Yep. So make sure you respond now. Mitchell, you are in the same boat as Joe Ryan. You can't win again for 10 more episodes. Why are you tickling me, Travis? God, glad he's gone. You're out for 10. So we'll see you at episode 86, maybe. Good luck, everybody, and let us know. And the hardest thing about this is I have to think about what I was talking about. I think I was talking about Dial-A-Mug, and I can't wait to get him. Can't get wait to get my hands on that tongue lasher too. They gave us a tongue lasher, a Filmation version. The cartoon looks totally different than the original release of Tongue Lasher. Always cool to get those characters. It's a lot like Clawful. I'm excited about that. And the Merman, I mean, straight up Merman. He's a major villain. Has that Filmation look. They nailed the sculpt of his head and everything, and I am pumped. Plus, we got a Karg, finally. This is not in the Filmation line. This is from the regular Classics line, and Karg, he's from the 87 movie. It's a figure they've never done. Apparently, there was a way to do that because he had been pictured or something back in the 80s. Super 7, as well as Mattel, does not have the rights to the 87 movie characters. So the ones that they've done, they've only been able to do because they were produced as figures before, like Gwildor and Blade and Sorod. That was the only reason they could do those. That's why we can't have our movie version He-Man. We can't have our movie version Skeletor. And Karg was never done, but I guess they somehow had some rights to that one, and they were able to do that. So, those are the ones I'm excited about. I'm not sure if there's more in that in the Classics line. So
I can't find pictures of any of those things you're talking about.
You can't?
No.
Actually, I was just trying to as well, and they weren't popping up.
Okay.
Very easily. So, anyways, that's Classics. What else?
All of the DC Multiverse stuff is garbage, and it looks like garbage, and it's going to come out, and it's going to be garbage like every other thing they've done. They don't seem to have changed their plan of attack at all. apparently, they had the full-size Batmobile or whatever from Justice League on display to draw people in, and then I'm sure they had people there to clean up the vomit from all the people that are like, oh, great, more figures.
They just puke. They just see them. Yeah, they just barf.
They just throw up because they're ridiculous.
They bring three staff members to set up the display, and they bring four to mop up the barf.
Yes, because they make people sick with their bullshit.
Right. So, one thing me and Pete are both going to be excited to see is NECA has announced that they are going further with the quarter scale figures, and they are giving us a Shredder from the movie and a Foot Soldier.
Yes.
I really wish they would have had a prototype to look at, but...
Yeah, me too.
Now, so I think that this is going to be interesting because now we're going to deal with, at least with Shredder, it's I don't know if he'll have a removable, the bottom half of his face is covered by his mask. He does remove that in the movie, showing Splinter his scratch marks from when Splinter got him. But this will be a different because... Now they're doing like an actual actor's likeness, which, you know, before they were doing a Jim Henson Muppet likeness. Right. Let's see how well they nail this.
Yeah, an actual real face.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So, that's all I have. Anything else?
It looks like there's some cool stuff in the world of Turtles. I don't know much about them, but the Dimension X, your Trag. And I don't remember the beak-nosed person. I don't remember his name, but I remember loving him in the cartoon, kind of as part of the whole Dimension X storyline.
Yeah.
So, those look pretty fun. I'm pretty excited about those.
Remember fighting them in the video game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
NECA had a ton of cool stuff. More Predator stuff as well, and then some things that I don't know much about. RoboCop, Terminator. There's the Terminator dog figure that they're doing, which looks pretty interesting. I don't know anything about the storyline, but and then the quarter scale figures that they have for Marvel look pretty incredible. The Daredevil, Captain America, X-Force Deadpool, Spider-Man. So there's a ton of, like I said, a ton of cool stuff that NECA's doing. A lot of Ash versus the Evil Dead, Freddy Krueger, Chucky, horror stuff. Like I said, Predator. They're still very heavy Predator and Aliens. But I'm excited to see the stuff actually come out and be able to get our hands on it. That was the other NECA, the Raphael in his trench coat with his hat.
He's doing the trench coat with the hat. Which I don't know if I have to have that, but I think it's cool.
I don't know if they're doing it's a whole nother figure or if they're just doing the trench coat and the hat for your Raphael figure.
I think it is a whole new figure.
Okay.
And
then the little mini turtles with the pizza, that's fun.
Yeah.
So
good stuff. Great stuff. Hot Toys has got a bunch of stuff too, and I haven't had a chance to really look at it. I've seen photographs and videos of figures that I already knew were coming. I'm really excited about the Jedi Luke that's coming out. And there's probably some great Marvel stuff, but I really just have not sat down and taken all that in or seen, you know, somebody's video of it yet. So we might be talking about that in a future episode, just because we're calling this kind of a San Diego thing. You know, San Diego Comic-Con isn't even over yet as we record this. So,
We still have a full day left.
Right. So I'm not saying we're not going to revisit any of this in a future episode. If, you know, there's things we're just not going to hit here. But I think
the Mezco 112 stuff looked cool.
Oh, yeah. I am so ready to buy that World War Hulk from the Thor movie.
Yes.
All them Thors, they look great.
Yes.
Mezco seems to be doing what I thought they may do. Is it was like, you know, we reviewed that Cap here on the show that we got, and we were kind of like, eh. And then we reviewed Daredevil, and I think Daredevil is like 50% better than Cap. I love that figure. I think if they keep going on this upward incline of doing it better and better and better, they're gonna be a 1/6 scale Hot Toys. Or 1/12 scale.
Yeah.
Sorry. 6-inch. So, you know, I'm pumped. So that's about that, I guess. All right, it's time to talk about movies.
And TV.
And TV, yes.
San Diego Comic-Con is obviously kind of a hotbed for updated initial trailers, of course, but also some revamps, some last-minute, hey, this is the last you're going to see. With Justice League, for instance, this is going to be the last, probably the most updated last trailer we see before the movie comes out. Same thing with Thor Ragnarok. Steven, what would you like to talk about first?
I'm going to buck the system and go right to some Netflix.
Do it.
I want to talk about some Stranger Things.
Do it.
Stranger Things. I watched that trailer not that long ago, this morning. It looks so cool. That show, just watching that trailer gives me nostalgia of watching the show last season.
That gave you nostalgia of being a child in the 80s.
Yeah. And then that, too.
It's a double dip.
It's like, I'm so excited for it to be back. I can't wait to binge watch that thing and just, you know, man, it's just so good. How did they make something so good? It's just, I can't imagine this is going to be bad. You know, they gave us so much stuff to just see in this trailer, the Ghostbusters, which we had already seen that and everything, but the kids just get to see a little bit more of them wandering around and that playing the video game.
Yep.
The arcade sign out in front of the building that they're playing their video games at just is like, boom, wow, that is so cool. And I don't know. I'm very, very excited. I'm as excited for that as I am for the new Thor movie or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped. And and part of me too, I think the reason I get so excited about that stuff is I know that I've got a lot of watching ahead of me. It's not just going to be we go out on a Friday night, get a bite to eat, go see a great movie. I can actually sink my teeth into it, and there'll be a few times where I get to go back to it. I can keep looking forward to what's coming next because it's a full season.
Yep.
So
really, really cool. Next, I'd like to talk about. This one's going to hit harder for me than Pete, but the Ready Player One preview. Now, first off, I'm going to say it looked very cool. I read the book. I love the book.
When did the book come out? Do you know?
Yeah, it's not that old. I want to say, and I did look this up when I read the book, I want to say it was right around the 2010s area, like 2011, okay. somewhere in there.
Okay.
It's not that old of a book, but very cool. One thing that struck me, you know, as I envisioned what this would look like as a movie, one thing that right off the bat struck me is that the main character isn't fat. He is totally talked about as being fat.
Right.
In the beginning of the book. I guess spoiler alert if you haven't read the book, but now as he goes on through the book, he loses weight. So I was hoping that this was going to be like a Tom Hanks Castaway thing where they actually got a kid that would actually lose weight through the story. Maybe that's asking too much. I don't know.
I've never seen Castaway. So
Castaway is where Tom Hanks starts out and he's kind of chubby. He's got the dad body at the right. beginning, and then he gets lost on a desert island. Or I don't know, it's a tropical island, I believe. He gets lost for years, and he got himself skinny as shit for those scenes. I think right. he actually got skinny. If I remember right, he actually got skinny,
they filmed
those
them.
Scenes, and then he put on weight and came back and filmed the scenes before he right. went. He got stuck on the island. That's what I remember. But
that's probably an easier way to do it, I would think.
Probably. You know. But I was kind of hoping for that, or maybe they could just make him wear clothes that would, maybe he could be a little doughy, maybe wear some clothes to make him look more doughy, and then strip him down by the end because, you know, the character just kind of gets lost in the oasis, and it's just cool. But that put aside, man, he looks, or this movie looks so fun. There's some things that I saw in the previews that I know were not in the book. Travis did mention that. Did he say Universal is putting this on?
Yeah. He said Universal, yes.
You know, a point that he might make is the book, you know, talks about all kinds of 80s properties and all kinds of movies and everything else, but making a movie, they may not have all those rights to do all the stuff that was actually in the book. So maybe that's why we see, I don't remember Back to the Future in the book at all, but we see the DeLorean in this preview. And maybe that's why, maybe because Universal has the rights to
cheap,
that stuff.
Cheaper and easier to use something in its place.
Right. But anyways, regardless, I'm pumped. I think people are going to love this thing. I really do. Boy, the Stacks. The Stacks is where he lives, and they call it the Stacks because it's like just a bunch of homes stacked on each other.
That For those of you guys playing Fallout 4, it's Diamond City, essentially.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's what they showed us there looked just like how I envisioned that in my head.
Right. And that trailers and mobile homes just kind of stacked yep. into towers.
Yep. So, way cool. All right, let's get into some more mainstream. Let's go back to Netflix and talk about The Defenders. What do you think, Pete?
You know, wow. That was a huge yawn.
Pete's sick.
I'm not feeling great today, and I apologize to all the listeners for that. Both of you guys deserve a big apology. I'm excited about it. I love the characters. I love the shows. I didn't watch all of Iron Fist. I think I got maybe two or three episodes in. Because of the way I do things, I'm going to need to watch that before I can watch Defenders. So I need to, because that's just a thing, that's a me personal thing that I have to watch that stuff. So they gave me enough to be excited about it. Of course, I love the Punisher tease, the kind of some of the banter back and forth amongst the people. We really do have a merry band of characters, you know, they're all kind of very different. They come from from super rich to super poor to obviously all the different ethnicities, and you know, some people being gone in the Himalayas and some people being raised in the ghettos and some people, you know, it really is kind of a very eclectic mix, which I think is kind of the point, you know. So I look forward to it. Again, it's Marvel. I mean, when have they let us down thus far? you know. Yes, granted, I wasn't super excited to where I had to get back to Iron Fist. Doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just, you know, timing was a lot of it for me.
A lot of people were let down by Iron Fist. There's a lot of complaining there. I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was up there with Daredevil.
Right. Well, but look at how you set the bar.
That's true.
You know, and they didn't give themselves a whole lot of time because Defenders was coming whether you know, they got Iron Fist done or not. And that was, you know, I almost wonder if it wasn't maybe a little bit rushed. So
maybe. I know that they got some weird things, but I still, there were some weird things in Iron Fist that I didn't like. Very inconsistent with how good of a fighter Danny Rand is and things like that. But it still was good. You know, it wasn't like a torture to watch, especially the Colleen character. I thought she was so hot.
Is that the love potential love interest, the sister to the sister and brother that he hangs out with as a child?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Not at all.
She was cute.
Yeah, so. But... Eh.
And he's a dick. I didn't like him at all.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think you're supposed to. That's the point.
That's the point. So. But you need to watch that, I think, right. And then I don't know if it really is that important to seeing Defenders or not. But
I don't think it is, but it's just for me, it is. So,
all right. What else do we have here? We have Justice League. Justice League trailer hit. My opinion, my first instinct is, I think for the most part, it looks pretty fun. It looks good. I don't have any faith in it. I think Wonder Woman is still going to be the diamond in the rough of the DC movies or the Warner Brothers movies, whatever you want to call them. They're going to have to earn it this time. They're going to have to put it up there, and they're going to have to make me and Pete walk in there and walk out and say, hey, yep, we were wrong.
Right.
And
like they did with Wonder Woman, and kudos to them, but... You know, the old saying of, you know, even the sun shines on a dog's ass every now and again. They very easily could have been accidentally successful with Wonder Woman. And this could just be that. Because I'm telling you right now, Wonder Woman was so epically good that it's hard to not get your hopes up. You have to remember Batman versus Superman. You have to remember Suicide Squad. And you have to go, okay, take it for what it is and go and enjoy it. I will go see it probably the night it comes out. I'm still not happy about The Flash. There's nothing that anybody can do to make me happy about The Flash. I don't like the fact that it's not my Flash. We've got this guy who's been Barry Allen for 3 seasons of the show, numerous crossovers with the Green Arrow and Supergirl and the, is it not Injustice, Legends of Tomorrow. And I'm not saying that this guy's bad as Flash. He's just not my Flash. And I don't like his armor. That's not...
Something is
it's
weird.
It's too Iron Man to me, and I doesn't need to be. He's the Flash. Mm-hmm. It's just a suit that allows him to run fast. They make it look like his suit is part of his powers, and that's not the case. The Flash has his powers regardless of what he's wearing. You know? And that's what I like about the Flash. The suit is all about... him not lighting his Chuck Taylors on fire and burning his pants and clothes off. And it's also about concealment of identity, communications back to the people at Star Labs. So it serves a function and it serves a purpose, but it doesn't shoot bolts out of it. It doesn't do, and it's not armored. It's just, you know, so.
Something just seems weird. I think even if the TV show didn't exist, something seems weird about the Flash in this. But, you know, maybe by the end of an hour and a half or 2 hour or 3 hour, or however long
six,
they make
six
this.
Six and a half hours, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Maybe at the end I'll be like, hey, you did a great job. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe I'll be able to enjoy the cinematic universe for what it is separate from the TV universe. And I'm not holding my breath because I know what a stickler bastard I can be when it comes to that stuff. So, Arthur Curry, I mean, I love Jason Momoa. I love his look. I like what they're trying to do. But I have a very, 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 very huge concern that they're going to take this essentially bullshit character that everybody makes fun of. And they've got this tough badass to play him, and they've updated his look and they've put an edge to him, and then they're still gonna, it's still gonna be too goofball. I think they're gonna fuck it up. I'm after seeing this trailer, I don't think they're gonna do the right thing with him. I think they're gonna end up screwing that up pretty good.
I don't know. I love Jason Momoa. I still wish he looked more like, but I mean, everybody knows, they've heard my song and dance before. I wish he looked like Aquaman. Right. But
clean shaven and blonde hair.
Blonde hair eyes, with an orange shirt that's made with sequins.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, looking like he's going to the prom.
And I think the goofy aspect of what that character could be when it's like that, I don't think you can make the character look the way he does and carry that personality through. It's got to be a whole persona change. And there's a couple of little brief points where I see it and I hope he's going to have some quippy, funny stuff, I think. But I'm hoping they don't make him too lame, like the way he swims and the different things. I'm afraid that they're going to just ruin that character.
It almost looked like he had a mermaid tail at one point.
It did.
And I couldn't tell if that's really what I was seeing or if that was just the way he was swimming.
And, you know, the way he, like, drops through that building and then kind of surfs out on the guy's body, I thought that was kind of fun. You know, his trident seems really cool. You know, the way he's riding on the Batmobile with Batman, I thought was really cool. But like I said, I'm hoping that doesn't fall short of the glory.
The biggest weird thing that stuck out to me about this movie, or about this trailer, I should say, is the fact that I believe it was Ben Affleck's voice, so it's Batman, I think. Correct me if you found this to be different, but was talking about Clark, and wasn't he the one saying how Clark or Superman was, he tried to make everybody better and blah blah blah. And was that Batman?
I don't know. I didn't pick up on that. You're talking about the narration of, not only did he help people, but he helped people become better people themselves.
Yeah, and
That didn't strike me as being Batman. I didn't see it or hear it that way.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that it wasn't, but that's not how it hit my ears.
Okay. So I guess I'll just say this quickly because it might be all for nothing. If that was Batman, that seems a little weird to me that we, you know, a movie ago, he was trying to kill him. And now he's like, oh, he's just, he made the people a better thing. And I'm like, he's been dead. It's not like they've even had, it's not like they've had time to buddy up. He's been gone. You tried to kill him. You guys banded together for one monster, and then now Superman's dead. And now all of a sudden you've got this profound love for Clark. If that's what it's like, well, now I could see it if it'd be like 2 years later and they've been fighting crime side by side for 2 years, but all they have in common is Martha. You know. So if that's the case, I think that's a little weird, but it might not be the case.
I think what they're trying to give us the Superman sneak peek. I think that's what that thing is with Alfred when he's working on the car.
Gotta be.
That's what they're trying to tell us, or they're at least trying to lead us to believe that.
Yeah, because that's the whole Batman.
Did you notice Alfred looked older in this one? They actually grayed his hair out all the way and what have you.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Which was one of my big complaints from the last time around.
I didn't notice.
Wonder Woman. Don't ruin her. You guys did such a great job with that character. Cyborg, I'm worried Cyborg is going to be... even The Flash, too. I'm kind of worried that some of those characters are going to end up being throwaways, and they're not going to have enough to do...
Character development?
Right. You know, I mean, you look at what they did with Suicide Squad. The least effective and the least talented, the least everything of the Suicide Squad is Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a skimpy outfit and a baseball bat. You know, but they made her such a huge focal point. I don't want them to do that with Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman had her moment to shine, and she shined, whatever. I hope that they give these people an opportunity, because I'd love to see a Cyborg movie. I'd love to see a Flash movie. If they can do this well, I'd love to see those other movies. You hit the nail on the head when you said, I don't have any faith in it, because that's how you have to go into it. It's, you know... Hey, my dad came back into my life, and he wants to give it another shot. Well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to hold out, and I'm not going to be upset when he, you know, takes my money and leaves again. So that's where I'm at. I think that there's some potential there. I don't know enough about Cyborg. I hope they give us some. But that's the other problem with DC is, are you going to give us another five person and you're going to try to reinvent the wheel? Are we going to get a Wonder Woman backstory again? Are we going to get a Batman backstory? Are we going to get any of this stuff? Because I can see them trying to revamp all of that. And now we're an hour into the movie and we haven't done anything but learn about the characters, some of which we already knew. I think they need to give us some info on Cyborg. I think they need to give us some info on Flash because of the cinematic aspect of the universe. Because you can't, that's not the same Flash from TV. So I don't think that they're carrying that as canon.
Absolutely not.
So you've got to give us something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think what they're going to do is they're going to do what they did with Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman, which Wonder Woman is my favorite part of that show. She showed up. She kicked some ass. It was cool. We saw how she is Wonder Woman in her own movie. Right. So, I don't know.
They'll do that? You think we'll get that with Cyborg and Flash and stuff?
I think what they need to do, in my opinion, is they just need to show up, have those guys show up, or have, you know, not just show up. I think we can tell from the previews that Batman is going to recruit them. Batman and Wonder Woman is going to recruit them for their abilities. They need to show up and carry their own, as far as just being fun to watch, powerful, and badass.
Yep.
That's what they need to do. They need to entertain us and wow us, and then we'll like them, and then maybe go back and show.
Leave us wanting more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
So
Make us want to go get on the internet boards and go, I can't wait for a Cyborg movie. I can't wait for a Flash movie. I can't wait for an Aquaman movie. I think that's a great idea.
All right. So I got Travis's notes in front of me.
Okay.
He left, and I'm looking at the TV's movies and trailers, which he wrote down all these notes. And he's got something, JJ. Do you know what that could have been? JJ. What was it?
Is it supposed to be Justice League, but
no,
he just
he's got
the L
J,
backwards?
He's got J. That might be a Z, but...
No, that's JL.
JL here, and then he's got JJ down here.
Let me see that.
Not sure what he's trying to... What he wanted. He should probably just have stayed.
Thor, Justice League, Stranger Things, Defenders, Ready Player One, Super Friends, Jessica Jones. Did they tease a season two of that or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not aware. Maybe.
Thanks for nothing,
maybe.
Trav.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I mean,
so
we can cut you some slack when your freaking insides erupt, but
right.
Jesus.
Yeah, and you burned up all your slack for the next 18 episodes with that one. So
that leaves us with the big one.
The big one. The one where, obviously, we are absolutely over the friggin' moon about.
Yes. We have Thor. Thor really looks like some fun.
Oh, it really
looks like some fun. I tell you what. I'm glad that we actually, not only do we have the Hulk, we have Banner. I was afraid that he was going to be hulking out the whole episode, which, I mean, I wasn't afraid of that. That still probably could have been very cool, but I'm just glad to see that we get him, and we even get him as the Hulk, because the Hulk has now appears to, it's got a lot more control.
Yes, he actually does some talking other than just Hulk smash.
Yeah.
And two of the most memorable parts of that trailer for me, they are just interactions between Thor and the Hulk, and then the Thor and Hulk obviously as Bruce Banner, when they're talking about the fire, and the Hulk is insulting Thor because he's just a little smoldering fire and I'm a huge raging fire. And then on the flip side of that, you've got Thor insulting Bruce Banner going, did I win? No, I beat you pretty bad. Well, see, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it was good. I gotcha. You know, I mean, that little stuff, it's like, go get a Marvel. I mean, that's what Marvel is famous for. And every one of these movies has these one-liners. It has this dialogue, it felt to me it was that conversation between Star-Lord and Drax when he's, you know, you're pathetic. You need to find somebody equally pathetic.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody was taught. It's that little quippy humor
What I'm really excited about between Thor and the Hulk is the witty Banner. Get it? Get that? Get it? What I did there? Banner?
The Bruce Banner?
Yeah, I like it.
Hela looks incredible. You know, I think it's just going to be incredible. There are people on the boards on the internet right now saying, this looks like it's going to be my favorite, the best Marvel movie to date.
Yeah. And if you'd have told me 6 months ago or any earlier, or if you told me the Thor movie is going to be the highlight, possibly,
of the Marvel
and you have Spider-Man coming out in the same year, I would have said, no, go. No,
yeah,
go
I would have laughed in your face. I would have laughed directly in your face.
Because while the Thor movies have always been good, they've never been... I've enjoyed Thor much more in the group, the Avengers, and all that. Even though the Thor movies are good, they were always kind of like building blocks towards those team movies. This one, I don't think so. Even though, you know, we do have a little bit of the... We've got Banner. We've got Loki again. I mean, be prepared to go there thinking that you're going to love seeing Banner and Thor, and Loki steals the show, maybe, you know, because he can do that. Hiddleston is capable of doing that.
Oh, yes.
And I love Loki. So
who is the girl? I'm not sure who she is.
I'm not sure.
Either.
Probably a Travis would probably know.
Yep, thanks for nothing, Trav.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to look it up right now.
Travis.
Oh, Kate Blanchett plays Hella. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, I knew that.
Himdale, awesome. Of course, is awesome. Doctor Strange is in this movie.
Awesome.
I didn't see him in the trailer, but he's listed here.
Good. That makes sense, because there was that teaser where Thor goes to see him. It was one of the after the credits scenes in one of the movies. Was it Civil War, maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Valkyrie.
Oh, okay.
So, take a step back, and I apologize for this, but Justice League, the axe, somebody keeps smashing an axe and throwing an axe. They never show his face. What is that? Do you know who that is or what that is?
Probably something someone's going to bitch at us for not knowing, but I'm not a DC guy.
Neither am I.
I know some of the main characters. I know the Justice League. I know who's in the Justice League, right. Sort of. I don't know.
I know enough to be dangerous, is all.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, but anyways.
But I think, again, we don't have to say how excited we are about this movie, because we are pumped. It's going to be absolutely great. And what they're doing and you brought it up on the podcast before, and so has Travis, the way that they give you so much in the trailer. But you know, because of the way Marvel rolls, there's so much more yet to come. So that's even more exciting, because it's, man, look at the great stuff that we've got. You can only imagine what cards they're still holding close to their chest.
Exactly.
You know, and
exactly. Other than, you know, possibly with Justice League, they showed us the best stuff.
Right. Maybe. Like I said, with Justice League, I could see them doing that. Marvel's not that stupid. That's why Marvel's Marvel and DC's garbage. So.
I think we should stop saying Marvel and DC and start saying Disney and Warner Brothers.
Ah, well, that could be true.
Because, I mean, yeah. Disney is behind Star Wars right now. They're behind the Marvel Universe right now. Right. Those, they got a groove on, and they are not going to let this shit fail.
Uh-uh.
You know what I mean? You know, this isn't DC per se. It's DC's characters, but it's Warner Brothers that's doing this, in my opinion. Probably more than an opinion, but I think we're only in an hour 8 minutes now. This is going to be a shorter episode, but we should probably discuss Game of Thrones.
I'd love to discuss
Game, so we're going to end the episode with Game of Thrones. We're going to do Game of Thrones, right. And we're going to end this thing, right. So if you have not watched,
spoiler alerts,
yes, if you have not watched the first episode of Game of Thrones, you can stop here and come back to us later, and be fine, just fine. So no spoilers, but there really isn't a whole lot. Well, I guess there is a spoiler. Yeah, you better, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
So here we go, Pete.
All right.
What do you think?
I think that Game of Thrones started this season off with a fantastic recipe for what is to come. I thought the episode had a beautiful, brilliant balance of all of the characters, all of the storylines, all of the directions, all of where everybody's going. If I had a complaint about Game of Thrones, it's that I wish I knew nothing about it. And when the series came to an end, I could have sat down and watched season one, episode one, all the way through the series finale in one fell swoop. Because I will tell you, it is not easy to follow sometimes. When you go, especially when you go on a season break, there is a lot going on. There are so many moving parts. But what Game of Thrones does is when they did the recap, if you will, prior to the episode, they didn't just recap last season. They brought back scenes from, I mean, like when the Stark kids were kids to make, they always recap what's going to be, who they're talking about this episode. And I think they have to do that because it's a huge universe. And I don't know how, I think Game of Thrones probably has one of the top three most beautiful opening credit scenes of all of television.
Long as shit.
Long as shit. But how many people pay attention and notice that it's different all the time?
I've heard, and I've never been able to. I've heard that the areas of the map that they show are all places that they're going to be in that episode. That's what I've heard, but I don't know. I'm not smart enough to be able to actually check that.
And there was places that showed up, that kingdoms that grew in this one that I was like, never even heard of that place. You know, and it doesn't mean that they haven't talked about it. It's just I don't recall it because, again, the depth of the amount of material is so great. But they worked us through, and they, Arya Stark, as the leader of the Freys, yes, doing her, you know, a girl has no name, the many-faced god.
Yeah.
The way she talks to everybody. And basically they all kill themselves because they all drink from her poison wine. The way she stops the girl sitting next to her.
Yep.
Absolutely epic. Her speech was great. And it was a minute and a half worth of time. And yep, then it was done and you're like, well done. So you catch up. Okay, this is where Arya Stark is. She's taking care of the Freys. She's whittling these people off of her list. At one point, you see her then heading towards, she says, King's Landing, because she's going to kill the queen.
Right.
And she says that to the Lannister army, and they have a good chuckle about it. But that's all we really got from Arya. So, okay, we know where she's at. We're kind of up to date. Here we go. They gave us Jon Snow and Sansa, and they gave us a great kind of a debate between the two as to how they should progress. And Jon kind of puts her in her place. And, you know, keeps these people, these families in their kingdoms and makes them pledge their loyalty. So we kind of know, we see where he's at, but we also see a potential underlying situation that's going to need resolution. There's enough of Littlefinger there to where is Littlefinger pulling some strings on Sansa? Does he got her believing?
That's how Littlefinger that, you know, does pull strings.
Yep.
So, you know, he's trying, and yep, we wouldn't have a good drama if he isn't at least successful, mm-hmm, a little bit, you know.
And that makes you wonder, in what way is Sansa going to betray Jon Snow? Because she feels like she's doing the right thing, and he's not, versus it being just a straight, it's not a power grab, it's not straight betrayal, it's just, she doesn't think he's handling it right. Great storyline with the Hound, in revisiting that family that, you know, he said was going to starve to death and then did. And then the remorse of him, you know, burying them and going through that. And then also, the Hound is a loner. The Hound has always been a loner. There's only been one person that's ever gotten through to him, and that's been Arya Stark. While all of a sudden now, the Lord of Light is speaking to him, and he sees that the people he's with are willing to help as well when they come out and help dig the hole. So he's the kind of the whole, hey, you're not alone, we're in this together, which I thought was kind of neat.
I, from the very beginning, from a very early on, have wanted to see a few things in this series before it ends. One of them is I want to see the Hound beat the Mountain. Yep. I want to see him kill the Mountain. That would be so friggin' cool. Now, Game of Thrones is not the show that is in the habit of giving you what you want. Instead, they're in the exact opposite game.
They give you so much that you never even knew you wanted.
Yeah.
That you're willing to forgive them for not giving you what exactly you wanted.
But I kind of feel that when they wrap it up, they are going to give us some of the things we want.
They well, the at the end of the day, they don't have a choice, because no matter how they wrap things up, somebody's going to get what they want. Even if the White Walkers come in and desecrate everybody, there's people out there that are going to be like, hell yes, that's how it should be. The White Walkers are all powerful and we can't stop them. What a great way to end Game of Thrones. All of the power struggle, all the fight of the Iron Throne, it never mattered. It never mattered, because when the White Walkers come, it's done and over with. It's their version of the nuclear holocaust. At the end of the day, we can have all the democracy and all of the laws and rules and regulations and politics that we have now. When somebody starts dropping big bombs, none of it matters anymore.
It's so cool, because Cersei, being such a manipulator, and she is so power hungry, but right now her brain is totally focused on the shit that doesn't matter.
Yep.
And I can't wait, and I'm hoping that there is an episode when she has that realization, oh shit, you know.
I've bit off more than I could chew.
Yeah, the White Walkers are coming or whatever, and, you know, how is that going to, you know, I don't know. I'm talking out my ass. I don't know what's going to happen.
And that's one of the biggest differences, because for Cersei, everything is very personal, and it's all about her, and it's all about what's right in front of her. Cersei cares nothing about other than being in control and having the power. Cersei doesn't have anything left to live for. When you really think about it, all of her kids are dead, and somebody basically told her that you're going to lose everything. Now, we have two, albeit different, struggles going on with two different sets of siblings, because the Jaime and Cersei Lannister conversation about what should be done and what is right isn't very dissimilar from what Jon Snow and Sansa are having, the same conversation. So you have...
just with more sex.
Well, more sex, right, obviously. So, but the one difference is, if Sansa and Jon have sex, it's you're only banging your half brother, where Cersei's banging her straight up brother. It's
technically not as bad.
Not as bad.
And who can blame them? They're both so hot.
All four of them are hot.
Actually, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Although Cersei's short hair isn't doing it for me.
It isn't doing much for me either, but it's a wig. She's got long hair underneath there.
Yeah.
But Cersei is to the point of where she doesn't... excuse me. The only resolution she sees is a selfish one. And that's not how John is. John is, it's about everything else. It's about protecting everyone. I loved they gave you kind of a snippet of how low Cersei is willing to go in order to get what she wants. Mm-hmm. She's going to end up marrying Toolbox Teddy from the Ironborn or whatever, Iron, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved how he tried to take a step up on to the landing, and the mountain just took one step and he just backed right up.
Yeah.
And then the mountain just returned to where he was. I want to see his face before I want to see what his face looks like before the Hound kills him. What else did we see? What else?
Well, another thing I wanted to bring up before
asking. Bring it up.
And I don't know the answer to this. But from my understanding is the White Walkers, they can't go all the way to where, is it Westeros? Is that the whole plan? King's Landing. They can't go to King's Landing. Can they? Winter's never really going to come there, is it?
Well, that is a great point.
So is Cersei, she might support them. The White Walkers would come in and destroy the cold areas, and they can't come to her, so what does she care?
But, you know, I guess the way I've always interpreted it, and that's a good question.
Because I could be totally wrong on that. I don't know. Maybe winter is going to come there, but they always talk about them being from a warm region.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah.
And that's why, and then Jaime even talks about, we can't take the fight to Winterfell. We can't take the fight to Jon Snow because we'll die. We'll starve. We're not equipped for that. I was always under the impression the only reason the White Walkers have never made it down that far was because of the Wall and the Night's Watch. But I thought that
the whole aspect of what we've been seeing is they're getting more brazen. Because the Frost King, is it Frost King?
I think
they
so.
Call him like Ice that. King, whatever. Getting more brazen because he's, you know, all the times that he's gone into these battles, he's collected more soldiers. And I was always under the impression that that's what he was doing, is he's just building. Now he feels like he has enough to actually storm the wall, because the wall is down, the Night's Watch is beaten down, and now he can do that. I didn't think about the cold aspect of it. One thing I will say, one of the coolest scenes, but yet one of the most heartbreaking scenes for me was the giant.
Yeah.
As he was walking, you know what I mean? Because I loved him and I was so sad to see him go.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh shit. You know what I mean? He's a White Walker.
Yeah.
And it's not just him. You saw the character that we, the one giant that we kind of got to know, but you see other giants in the background, you know? So I don't know. And maybe it's one of those things where maybe that's never been the intention, is to go as far as Westeros. Maybe it's only been about taking over the North. But
if she
bring
wants,
up a good point.
If she wants the North defeated, let the White Walkers do it.
But I, and that's, yeah. I
and then, and then
that.
When it warms up, I mean, I know winter is supposed to be really super long.
Right.
But it warms up, then they would they have to recede? Would they have to go back into the North? I don't know. But anyways, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the giant and everything else. Yeah. Gosh, I think we've pretty much covered it.
I think that was pretty much the main scenes that we saw. I'm sure we're forgetting something. I still love that the Wildling King has got the hots for Bran of Tarth.
That is very funny.
And I just love how she's just shooting him down, because you know something's going to become of that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a moment in battle to where he saves her. So, you know what I mean? There's going to be something that develops out of that.
Yes.
But we got to talk about Sam.
We talked about this
the other day, and I got it, listeners. I've got to tell you, and Steven's already heard this, but I'm going to regurgitate it because I think you guys will get a chuckle out of it as well. I have an iron stomach for the most part. My career and my life has led me down a path to where I can pretty much see and hear and things. But when Sam is emptying bedpans just repeatedly over and over, and the sounds of the liquid poo and the him gagging, it literally started to turn my stomach, and I was getting the remote and trying to get it fast forwarded out of that scene, because I could tell they were just amping it up and they were going to kind of keep repeating it. And by the time I figured it out, I got the remote and stuff, it was all over. And I had actually left and responded on an alarm and came home and finished it. And ironically enough, as soon as I exited out of what I was watching, because HBO replayed that episode immediately following, as soon as I exit out of the recording I'm watching, it's that scene again. And I cannot get the damn channel changed quick enough. I literally thought I was going to throw up on myself. But I loved the fact that the girl and Lil Sam were still there.
Yes.
Little Sam was bigger, or was older than I anticipated him being. I like what Sam is trying to do, but I am in fear for Sam in a big way, because he's going to end up getting himself in trouble doing what he's doing.
Oh, he's going to get in trouble. Things are going to happen bad for Sam. I hope he can make it through it. I really want
to
see.
Get the info to John beforehand.
Get the info to John, what John needs to know. And I want to see him actually, my want, which is bad because it's probably not what's going to happen, is when all this is said and done, I want Sam next to John.
Yep.
You know, hopefully ruling.
Right.
You know.
What is it going to look like? So the final scene, okay, the winners are victorious. The scene, it cuts away. Who's standing there?
My hope is that it's John, Sam, Tyrion.
Tyrion is still the hand of the king. Jon Snow's the king and Tyrion's his hand. Huh? What?
I think that it's not necessarily. Okay, I have kind of fallen out of Daenerys. She started out as a big part of the show for me, but she really isn't doing anything for me anymore. You know?
I think a lot of that was done intentionally, because we all loved her, but then we also watched her slip, and we watched her kind of fall into being that person that she was totally against. And I think she's come out of that now. But you figure, I loved the scene of her seeing her birthright again and going back to the Castle Rock or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The Dragon Castle or whatever.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and that was important for us to see because Sam found on the map that here's the castle, here's the dragon glass. So they showed us that. Now Daenerys is there. Jon is trying to find a way to get the dragon glass. Those storylines are
them
all
together.
Going to intersect.
They could bring them together.
You know? So,
but I love, to me, as far as being entertaining, the only thing entertaining and makes me want to see Daenerys is the fact that I'm going to see Tyrion right now. And I like Grey Worm. I don't know why. Grey Worm doesn't say shit.
I love Grey Worm.
But for some reason, I want to see that guy kick some ass. Yeah. I love to see that guy kick some ass.
Well, you love the you know, was, you know, forced into slavery. And then he essentially is still working for someone else, but he's doing it because he wants to do it. And you just see how fierce his loyalty is to Daenerys. And I love the aspect of the woman that Daenerys has, like, kind of as her friend.
Yeah, Maz Kanata.
Is it what?
That's who does the voice for Maz Kanata, I believe.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. I never would have guessed that.
And the motion cap, I think.
One of the great scenes was, it was brief. Is the Dragon Queen here yet? And you see his arm come out, and it's
yes.
covered in stone.
Yes, it's that
and
one guy.
I can't
guy.
Think of his name.
It's that one guy that always gave her advice, and she never yep. listened to it.
And then was exiled because of yep. of betrayal. And then, you know, basically he's the one that saved Tyrion.
Yep.
But you know, I saw that. I
yep.
I wonder if Good Varys stuff. Is still going to be around at the end. You know, the bald guy without a penis. We did not see Reek at all
no.
this episode.
No.
But him and his sister are coming to help the Dragon Queen. They're coming to help Daenerys because the uncle said as much when he was talking to Cersei. So, because they stole 10,000 of my ship.
I really want to see Reek redeem himself.
I want to. Reek is going to end up dead.
Probably.
The only way I think that Reek feels like he can pay for the betrayal is to ultimately die in order to save someone. And I think he's going to get that vindication. I think there's going to be a moment to where, as he's dying, Jon essentially forgives him. And I think that's going to be an important part of this. He's, in my mind, he's already on his way to redemption. He's done,
yeah,
I think, a lot of
good. He already
got
Sansa out.
Yep. So,
you know, I just hope that he is not only redemption for what he's done wrong, but also gotten his, he was beat down so much by Ramsay.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see him
overcome that,
yes.
get his confidence
yep.
back.
Yep. Yep.
I agree.
It
and
would
I
be
really
just very interesting.
Yes, and I agree. That character is kind of intriguing to me. But they're weaving their web like they always do, and you know, Bran has made it back to the Night's Watch. Now I was surprised when the guy walks up to John and says, "Hey, there's a raven." And I thought it was going to be the Night's Watch saying, "Hey, your brother's here." But it was Cersei saying, "Hey, do this or I'm going to kill you all."
Right.
So I kind of was like, this is that scene where he finds out Bran is alive and then didn't. So I'm anxious for that reunion because I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen with Arya because this show cannot come to a conclusion without a reunion of the Starks. They've all been in different areas doing their own thing. They're all working essentially towards a common goal, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. But bringing them all back to one, now you've got one of the Starks has become is basically the many-faced god. One of them is the third eye, who is a godlike. Jon Snow has come back from the dead because he has some sort of a godlike quality. And then you have Sansa, you know. So all of these... these birthrights or these things that are happening to these people, to bring them all back together. I can't wait to see a scene where they're all in the same frame and they've all been reunited, you know, because at this point, Rob is the only kid that's dead. Mom and dad are dead. but they haven't lost any other siblings, right?
Yeah, they have. But she wasn't a big part of the show, but that's what drew John out onto the battlefield against Ramsay, was trying to save his brother.
Yes, the little brother, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, but I don't know. I'm really excited for it. Again, fuck Netflix because they get you into this thing where you get to have it all at once.
Yep.
But then you go to HBO and you're like, I got to wait another week. You know?
Which the good news is now we're all fired up talking about this and it's Sunday. So we see one tonight. So
are you going to be able to watch it from the cabin?
I'll be home tonight. I got to go to work in the morning. So.
Okay. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I think they're going to do it justice. And the nice thing is they could do a lot of things in this that won't upset me. Just because they've done so much, there's a lot of ways this could go. In your opinion, who has to survive? If you were like, man, if this person dies, that would ruin the show for me. Who is it?
Well, John can't die again. They already killed him.
Yep.
If they do that again, it would just be. They resurrected the character from the dead. Come on, they can't do that to John. I really don't want Jaime Lannister to die. I want Jaime Lannister to make it through this. I want him to betray his sister.
I think you're totally right. I think he's going to betray his sister, but I think that it ultimately is going to be the death of him.
And it might.
You know?
There's a lot of characters that I could handle seeing die as long as they get to do something with it first. Like the Hound. I love the Hound. I can see the Hound die as long as he's killed the Mountain.
Right.
You know?
I totally agree with you, man.
And there's just a lot of that. But so John would be my number one, I think. I really don't want to see die. I don't want to see Gwendolyn die. That's her real name, Gwendolyn Christie. But the big blonde, I can't think of her character's name.
Brienne of Tarth.
Yep. I don't want to see her die. She's too pure of a character. I want to see her.
It's going to come to an ultimate where I think that they're going to pick Sansa over Brienne. I think there's a point that's going to culminate, and she is going to die defending Sansa because that's what she promised. That's what she pledged to Lady Stark that she would do. Maybe. And I think it's going to come down to that.
And I don't want to see Tyrion die.
I don't want to see Tyrion die.
It's too perfect to have this show start with the imp.
Yep.
And him go all this way. All the way to the freaking end, and he's standing there at the end. It's a poetic. Right. It's got to happen for me.
Who has to die?
Oh man,
Cersei has to die.
Cersei's got
the Mountain has to die.
The Mountain's got to go. And
the King, the White Walker King, has to die, and it's got to be Jon that does it. I want to see Jon run him through with freaking dragon glass.
If you really start thinking about it. You know, we always talk about Game of Thrones not giving you what you want, but a lot of bad people have died.
Right, which is what we wanted.
Yeah.
Joffrey, Ramsay Bolton,
Stannis.
Yeah.
I mean.
Did you see, there was a great little College Humor did it, and I tried to find it again the other day. I showed it to my wife, and I couldn't find it again to show somebody else, but it was the ultimate Game of Thrones recap, and it just literally went through, and it showed a character. And then a dead stamp over their face, and dead, and it just, and every single character that died, it put a dead stamp, except for with Ramsay Bolton, they put a bunch of dead stamps because everybody hated him,
right?
And then with Varys, it said dead, and then it put a dead over his, or no, I'm sorry, it was somebody, it wasn't Varys, but yes, it was. It was just, but they just put the dead over his penis, you know. And then the only other one that didn't say dead over him was Hodor. It just said Hodor. It was so good, man. So, but it's when you look at it like that, when somebody strings together all the characters that we've seen die, holy shit!
Yeah,
you know, I mean, right from the beginning with Ned Stark and Robert Baratheon, and all the way through to all the people that we've seen die, And again, it keeps you on your toes. And that's one of the most fun things about this show is there's a lot of things in modern cinema and TV that in comics and all this stuff that, you know, the hero wins and they get the girl and the bad guy. And the TV of the 2010s isn't like that anymore. You know, there aren't sacred characters like there used to be in a lot of shows. And I think a lot of it has to do, it's a great mix of Netflix and it's a great mix of the paid channels, the ones that can push things a little bit further. than you can on standard cable, you know. Yep. And but your Sons of Anarchy, your Breaking Bads, your Dexter's, your, I mean, all these shows that have, you know, Sons of Anarchy, the main character dies along with numerous other characters along the way. I mean, I remember, and I'm not doing spoiler alerts because this series has been done for 4 years, 5 years, but, you know, when they killed Opie, like, how do you freaking kill Opie? You know what I mean? And they bash his head in and they make the guys watch in the prison. And people were like in an uproar because he would have been your Tyrion, you know? And you're like, what are you doing? You can't kill. You're like, you want to punch Kurt Sutter in the face, the writer of that, the writer and creator of that. But it's definitely made for TV that's much more interesting because we don't know what's going to happen. We've speculated a lot, and we're going to be 25% right between the two of us as to what's really going to happen.
If we're lucky.
Yeah. You know.
If we're lucky. So anyways, if you haven't figured it out, we love the series. If you're not watching it, you know, you're lucky. Because like Pete said, you can start now at episode one. By the time you get all caught up.
I'm so jealous of those people.
By the time you get caught up, this whole thing might be wrapped up.
Yep.
Who knows? So, yeah. Anyways, I didn't mean for this to be a Game of Thrones episode, but once we started talking, it kind of took off.
It's awesome.
And
at this point, too, I think there's a lot of people out there that are just being assholes. And they're like, "Why? Well, I'm not doing that because everybody else is doing it." Like, that's fine. If you absolutely don't want to check out some incredibly well-written TV because you're like Chad Kroeger from Nickelback and you think it's cooler to not have tattoos because now everybody has tattoos, that's fine. Don't watch Game of Thrones. You're the one missing out. I could care less because I'm going to watch it and I'm going to enjoy it. And who knows what the future brings because this is such a huge thing. I mean, there's potentials for spinoffs. There's potentials for prequels. There's a lot of potentials for Game of Thrones. It's a huge universe that they've created, and they could give us a lot more content if they choose to. Or they put it to bed with a nice, tidy bow, and we all walk away happy, you know? And
yep.
So.
All right. So that's it. Next week, by the time this airs, episode 2 of Game of Thrones will probably already be out.
Yep.
But Pete, take it away.
Take it away. Wrapping up episode 76 of the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast. We are sans Travis here for the second half, which at the end of the day, I mean, I guess, did you guys really want to hear about how great he thought something terrible was or how terrible it was great? But it was all right. It wasn't bad, but it was good. Unfortunately, we missed the Geek Garage sale yesterday. It was called due to inclement weather. It's an outside show. They look like there was huge thunderstorms coming, and the guys decided to push it off to next week. Tough decision, but again, you got a bunch of people that have $100 figures that are covered in paper and cardboard. Might as well push it to a better weekend and see if we can't have fun. They always put on a great event. So as of right now, it's this coming Saturday, the 29th. At Big Kids Games in Grand Rapids. Again, it's an outside event. It's free to vend. It's free to get in. There are going to be some vendor slots open because of scheduling conflicts. People can't move to next weekend. So if you're interested in getting a table, get with Joe Reed or Ben Talmadge, the two guys that organize it. It's the Geek Stuff Garage Sale on Facebook. Make sure you like that for updated info. Other than that, again, we're going to watch Game of Thrones tonight, and we're looking forward to next month. Defenders drops already, right? In August?
Yeah, I think yes, mid-August.
And so we got that coming up. We're going to be tucked in. For those of you guys that have been playing Fallout, I took out the entire Brotherhood of Steel. The Prydwen is on the ground in ruins. I murdered Elder Maxon in cold blood. And I'm only 31% of the way through the game. So keep on plugging away. Keep enjoying it. It's been fun. So for Steve Bisciotti, the absent Travis Bowles, huge thanks to Courtney Bisciotti, our producer, and then also our sound engineer who created some new cool things that you guys heard today on the show. Congratulations to our winner, Mr. Mitchell McRoy. We'll be getting with you. And make sure you guys send in the phrase of the day was?
It was. Steve's thick hair makes me wet.
Steve's thick hair makes me wet. And again, we'll send you guys out some cool prizes. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Pete McCarthy alongside Steve Bisciotti. And until next time, we'll see you guys in the toy aisle.